Giri bada dadi. Yashoda nandana braja janaranjana. Yamuna tira vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Shri Mate, Bhaktivedanta, Swami Rita Namani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Bacharani Nivashesha Sanyavari Paschatyati Satarani Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Samasundara Ki Jai Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15. Text, was it 13, 14? Yes. Okay. So text 13 has no purport. I'll just read that myself, and then we can go on and chant together. Text 14. So text 13. Ramo vacha atat. Oh, you're all so enthusiastic. Okay, we'll do it together. Okay, Ramo vacha atatasyo satim devim. Rishi Kulyam Sarasvatim Nashvadya Manyu Dashtanam Tesham Atma Pyatriptyatam Tesham Atma Pyatriptyatam. Translation, Brahma continued, even though the sages had been bitten by the serpent of anger, their souls were not satiated with hearing the Lord's lovely and illuminating speech, which was like a series of Vedic hymns. Okay, now text 14 together. Satim Vyadaya Shinvanto Lagvim Gurv Artha Gavaram Vigrayagada Gambiram Na Vidus Touch Chikirsitam Satim Vyadaya Srinvanto Lagvim Gurvarta Gavaram Vigaya Gada Gambiram Navidus Tach Chikirsitam Satim Vyadaya Srinvanto Lagvim Gurvarta Gavaram Vigaya Gada Gambiram Navidus Tach Chikirsitam. Satim, excellent. Vyadaya, with attentive oral reception. Srinvanta, hearing. Lagvim, properly composed. Guru, momentous. Artha, import. Gavaram, difficult to understand. Vigaya, pondering. Agada, deep. Gambiram, grave. Na, not. Vidu, understanding. Tat, of the Supreme Lord. Chikirsitam, the intention. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the Lord's excellent speech was difficult to comprehend because of its momentous import and its most profound significance. The sages heard it with wide open ears and pondered it as well. But although hearing, they could not understand what he intended to do. Please repeat. The Lord's excellent speech was difficult to comprehend because of its momentous import and its most profound significance. The sages heard it with wide open ears and pondered it as well. But although hearing, they could not understand what he intended to do. Purport. It should be understood that no one can surpass the Supreme Personality of Godhead in speaking. There is no difference between the Supreme Person and his speeches, for he stands on the absolute platform. The sages tried with wide open ears to understand the words from the lips of the Supreme Lord. But although his speech was very concise and meaningful, the sages could not completely comprehend what he was saying. They could not even comprehend the purport of the speech or what the Supreme Lord wanted to do, nor could they understand whether the Lord was angry or pleased with them. Satim vyadaya shinvanto lagvim gurvarta gavaram vigaya gada gambiram navidus tach chikirshitam. Once again, the Lord's excellent speech was difficult to comprehend because of its momentous import and its most profound significance. The sages heard it with wide open ears and pondered it as well. But although hearing, they could not understand what he intended to do. Om Gyanati Miranda Sharjananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Venamaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So if the four Kumaras could not understand what to speak of us, so what can we say? Even though it was hard to understand, it was very important, had momentous import and profound significance. And sometimes it's like that. Krishna describes the knowledge of the ancient science of yoga, of the Supreme in Bhagavad Gita in chapter 3 as rahasyam hi etadutamam, as rahasyam is raho is hidden. So rahasyam is a mystery. So he said, because you are my devotee as well as my friend, Bhaktosime sakajiti rahasyam hi etad utamam. You can understand this transcendental mystery. You'll be able to understand it. I'll explain it to you. The science of yoga, the science of the relationship with the Supreme. So here, the four Kumaras are having a direct encounter with the Supreme Lord Vishnu, in this case. And although the Lord's speech was excellent, it was still difficult to comprehend because it was so deep and so profound in its significance. This is the polar opposite of what Srila Prabhupada was kind of humorously criticizing, where he would say that sometimes people get together and they want to hear something maybe from some scientist, and Prabhupada even goes and starts imitating, like double talking. I can't imitate Prabhupada's imitating. If anyone knows how to do it, they can try. It's the galabacham, shrimp, you know, just speaking nonsense, you know, like double talking. And then he would say that the people in the audience said, oh, it was so profound that no one could understand it. Like it was a great, great glory to be so mysterious like that. So in this case, it's a little different. And the sages, they couldn't understand. It's not that the Lord was not coherent. It had momentous importance and it had profound meaning. But there was a mystery to it. So the text before that didn't have a purport. I'll read that one again. Brahma continued. Even though the sages had been bitten by the serpent of anger, their souls were not satiated with hearing the Lord's lovely illuminating speech, which was like a series of Vedic hymns. There's no purport here, but it's, let me just say a couple of things. It's a little, seems strange, this juxtaposition that the sages, they were angry compared to a serpent, but still in their innermost beings, their souls were not satiated. In other words, they weren't satisfied. In other words, not that they were dissatisfied, but they could have heard more and more. In other words, they weren't like overly filled up with the words of the Lord, which is described as lovely and illuminating speech, just like a series of Vedic hymns. So this reminds us Arjun's reaction. Vishtarinatmano yogam vibhutam cha janardana bhuya kataya triptirhi shinvato nasti me mritam. Arjun is requesting Krishna in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that please continue, please go on describing your glories, O Janardhan. I'm not satisfied. I'm not satiated. In other words, I want more. I can't get enough of this nectar that's coming from your lotus lips. So please continue. Tell me about your glories. And then, of course, Krishna, he says, Hanta te kati ishyami. That hanta is like a word of endearment. It means to someone who's very dear. You say hanta, like my dear friend, my dear Arjun. Hanta te kati ishyami. Yes, I'll tell you more, but I want to warn you about something. What is that? That my glories are unlimited. You say, why? What? Krishna has such a big ego. Well, he's entitled to that. He's entitled to it. So what will Krishna do? I'll just tell you the most prominent, some of the most prominent, and then that goes into the Vibhuti Yogis. He goes somewhere around 70 descriptions there of his outstanding, we can say, manifestations in many different categories. Like, for instance, among aquatics, I am the shark. Among the beasts, I'm the lion. And so many other descriptions are there in chapter 10 of Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna was also not satisfied in the sense that he couldn't get enough of the nectar coming from Krishna's lotus lips. Why did the Kumaras interpret the Lord's speech, construe the Lord's speech as mysterious and esoteric? It says here that the excellent speech was difficult to comprehend because of its momentous import and profound significance. But the sages heard it with wide open ears and pondered it as well. Although hearing, they could not understand what he intended to do. Srila Prabhupada once said that his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he spoke with first of all, his English, when he would speak in English, which was often the case, his vocabulary is very difficult to find, you know, one of our colleagues, and one of our Iskanites that could compare the English vocabulary with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So Prabhupada would say, as sometimes I could not understand, but I would still go on hearing. So that's the important point. So the four Kumaras, they had difficulty really capturing. And they're not small time. They had small bodies, but they weren't what we call small time. They were the original sages. They come in front of King Prithu to give King Prithu instruction. You can't be, just ordinary to have that kind of invitation. But yet, even the four Kumaras, they were appreciating, but at the same time, they were not really sure. So in my notes here, I said, why did they construe the Lord's speech as esoteric and mysterious? Seems like it was rather straightforward. Seems that way. Why does it seem that way? Because we were hearing how the Lord was very specific. He was saying, I even cut off my arm, if someone offends the brahmanas. And he was glorifying the brahmanas, which the four Kumaras were archetypical archetypes of brahmanas, it's original. And what was the mysterious aspect? Seemed rather straightforward. So there's no, we don't have an answer to that question, but I philosophically speculate and say that it seemed straightforward that the Lord was glorifying the brahmanas, glorifying the Kumaras also, but what was esoteric about it was the intensity of it, the degree to which the Lord so beholden, so impressed, so inspired by the four Kumaras, the brahmanas in general, real brahmanas. So in the Vishnu Purana, you all know this phrase in 1.19.65, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmani Hitaya Cha Jagadi Chaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. That's very familiar. sometimes when we're offering food, boga, we chant that prayer, it's the third prayer, that the Lord is hita, he's very favorably disposed towards the brahmanas. And what is the other category that he's very favorably disposed to? The cows. So, so that aspect comes out here. He's the well-wisher of the cows and the brahmanas. We see in the, I've been reading again the 10th canto. I'm reading it in the form of Krishna book. I have the edition of Krishna book. There's a real heavy, big book and has thick pages and it has about 70 specially done illustrations. And the there's a lot of lila there, the Lord's being very much kindly disposed towards the brahmanas. There's one example of that even the brahmanas, they act immaturely. You might get a hint of where I'm going with this. When the two brahmanas started arguing whose cow it was, they were given thousands of cows in charity by, was it King Riga, no? And so the said, no, this is my cow. No, this is my, because the cow got mixed up somehow, and other cow got merged in the whole. What's it called? The group of cows is called the herd. Herd, I guess that's all right. So, what was the solution? King Rigo was willing to give them 100,000 more cows. Just, you know, please, you know, because he got the blame. You know, it's like as if he was depriving them of that particular cow. But even though those brahmanas were, I know, for want of a better adjective, I would say immature. I mean, they were making such a big deal. No, that's my cow. That's your cow. Even they were offered 100,000 other more cows, they still making a big fuss about it. And they walked away very dissatisfied. So King Nriga became cursed to become a lizard, right? He became a lizard in the well. And he was finally rescued. And I think that was in Dwarka. Was rescued by the Yadus and Krishna. And he told his story. So the Prabhupada goes to great lengths there describing how dangerous it is. It's called Brahmana Dan, the property of Brahmana, that you don't touch the Brahmana's property. Even though it was innocent, you know, but still it was a fault, especially because the brahmanas were not pacified. They went away angry. So this is something related to the Lord's great esteem he holds, great estimation, great esteem for the Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go, the brahmanas are so dear to the Lord. What to speak of brahmanas like the four kumaras? Of course, the cows figure very prominently, and the Lord appears. Cows are so important that the Lord's original form is as a cowherd boy. Just imagine, He spends, even when he was like 4 years old, he would go, I think, I'm trying to remember now, I think at 4 years old he was already allowed to deal with cows, and before that calves. He was very, very young age. Along with his friends, he was taking them to the pasturing grounds, taking care of the calves, and then he graduated. That's a whole, I know in Vrindavan they have a whole festival when for Krishna and his friends graduating for taking care of calves. Now you're big boys, 4 years old. Now you take care of the cows. So so it's very, very important in the original, you know, like in Vrindavan, the original Vrindavan, that was Gopal Krishna. Go is cow, and Pal means one who protects, takes care of. So Gopal. So that's so important that the Supreme Lord, the first part of his pastimes, he was cowherd boy. Not just him, but also just so many cowherd boyfriends. And each one of them was taking care of so many cows. I mean, the numbers are staggering. I think Nanda Maharaj had something like 900,000, more or less. Yeah. And Krishna would know them all by their names. He would call them by their names, and the cows would respond when they heard their names mentioned. So cows and brahmanas are two categories of persons who are extremely dear to the Lord. Namo brahmanya devaya go brahmani hitaya cha. So in this incident, that's why that King Riga, he got the form of a lizard stuck in the well, simply because he offended the brahmanas. And as I mentioned, it was a very innocent kind of offense. It was totally unintentional. It was almost inevitable dealing with so many numbers of cows. And they made such a big fuss. So, you know, sometimes it's mentioned that, and we shouldn't, you know, like say if someone gets Brahmin initiation, they shouldn't let it go to their head. And sometimes, I know in the earlier days that someone got Brahminical initiation, they became very proud. And not all of them, but that was a tendency, because you were like considered like higher in the hierarchy, so to speak. But you shouldn't become proud of most of us, especially those of us coming from the West, still here. We know where we're coming from. So if we have some designation like Brahmana or Sannyas, we should realize this is just mercy. That our only qualification is that we're trying our best to follow the instructions of Guru, and in my case, the Guru is the founder Acharya. So we get some real mercy, just to the extent that we sincerely are trying to adhere to Prabhupada's instructions. Getting back to King Riga, so he became a lizard just because he inadvertently cheated the brahmanas. Inadvertently, it was completely unintentional. Well, it was really a dispute between two brahmanas. It seemed like King Riga shouldn't really have the blame, but still he accepted the blame, and he actually became a lizard. So It's just Prabhupada in his explanations, he's explaining in Krishna book, he explains how delicate is, don't take the property of a Brahmana. Even though it seems like it wasn't the king's fault, I mean, the two Brahmanas were arguing, you know, and it seems like it was a problem between themselves, but still he got the blame. He accepted the blame, and he had that result. Even unintentionally taking the property of the Brahmins. What to speak of Jayan Vijay's behavior towards the four Kumaras. In other words, this is the context that it's not that Jayan Vijay was stealing something from the four Kumaras, but they were offending the four Kumaras by not recognizing that they were bona fide Brahmanas, to put it mildly, and not allowing them, trying to block their way into Vaikuntha, when we've been reading about that whole pastime. Might recall Srila Prabhupada's apparent contradictory instruction. Sometimes when you make notes for yourself in the class and you write it like in a very, you know, very shorthand, and then you, when you then you read it in a moment of truth. Well, what did I mean by that? I said, might recall Srila Prabhupada's apparently contradictory instruction in this regard. Anyway, this will be my homework assignment. So the main point is the nectar, the hearing the Lord speak, even though it was not understood. Prabhupada said that sometimes I would understand my Guru Maharaj, sometimes I wouldn't understand, but I would still love to hear. And then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur picked up on that. Who can guess where this is going? When it came time to make that decision that Aboy Charande would get initiated, then famously Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, yes, I will accept him as disciple. Why? He's attentive to you. And who remembers the specific example of that that was so inspiring, that was so enlivening to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta?
Yeah. To go to Mathura, right, Adikeshwar temple. And Srila Prabhupada said, why should I go see Adikeshwar? I'm here with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That was what I remember.
Yeah, in one sense, you can't blame them for so much, because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was almost encouraging them, because they were hearing a whole series of lectures. And then the last, this was in Vrindavan, I think. No? Was it Vrindavan? And then the... You know, it seemed like it wasn't any offense, because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta knew it was their last day. He said, if you want to go visit different temples, you have that option. It's kind of, he was being very liberal. You can hear the class. And most of the devotees, as I remember reading, that most of them actually left, because they were invited to take it. Hey, we're in Vrindavan. We're, you know, who knows when we'll come back again. And so let's go visit these temples, see the deities, as we're invited to do by Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati. And then a few of them stayed behind, a few sannyasis, and our Srila Prabhupada was sitting there. So that certainly was an inspiration. Hare Krishna. It was certainly an inspiration for, he's doing something funny, certainly an inspiration for Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, yes, I will accept him. Why? Because he likes to hear. and he's liking to hear was that he didn't take advantage, even though they were invited to go and leave and see different temples. He said, no, he preferred to not miss a beat, not miss a word. Even though he admitted that he couldn't always understand everything. That's why Prabhupada, he would always always come back to this idea simply by hearing. You may understand or not understand, simply by hearing. There's a very sweet incident of that where Bhakta Steve, I'm talking about Satsvarup Maharaj, Steve Guarino. No, I wasn't there at that particular moment for this incident at 22nd Avenue, but I think it's in Lilamrita, that he probably, it's like almost like to a dog, just sit. Sit here, now you sit. Because now it was time to hear. And Satsrup had just purchased, Bhakta Steve had just purchased all three volumes of Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, not of Srimad Bhagavatam, three volumes of Canto 1. And it was $18. And Srila Prabhupada had no assistant, so he very humbly was going up to get $2 change somewhere. And Steve was, very properly, kindly said, no, it's okay, you can keep the $2 change. So it was time for him to go. But Srila Prabhupada, it's not like because you bought the book, now it's not that you don't have to be obedient. So now you sit, now it's time to hear. And I'll finish this little pastime. But it's interesting how it wasn't, there's nothing stereotyped about Prabhupada's attitude, as we'll see and hear, that Steve, he said, oh, I'm sorry, Swamiji, I'm only on my lunch hour. I have to get back to my job. He was working in the welfare department. And instead of being disappointed, Srila Prabhupada was smiling. He said, oh, we finally got a live one. We finally got someone that's at least materially responsible, He knows he has to get back to his work on time. Prabhupada was glad, because the rest of us, although I didn't move. I slept in the temple one night. We used to call it crashing. So I crashed in the temple, Not that I wanted to join the temple. I just, need a place to crash. So in the morning, I was lying on my back. Do you want to hear a little of this? And it's always going back to 66. It's always fun. So I was lying on my back and I was like horizontal, and the devotees were vertical. They were all chanting japa and walking around and avoiding stepping on my head. And then I was kind of getting a little antsy. You say antsy, it means like a little nervous, like I felt that maybe I should leave. And then one of the devotee hippies, he came up to me and said, hey, man. I guess they saw some of my behavior. And he said, hey, man, you really got to listen to the Swami, or you really got to go see the Swami. You're a real extreme case, So I didn't go. I stayed in. So that was nice that Prabhupada, he was pleased, because most of us, we had the professor, Howard Wheeler, the Hayagriva, and you had some people with some qualification, you can see. They also had issues, but that's all right. But the it wasn't so common that, because the people who were joining were pretty spaced out, you might say, for the most part. All right, so how we connect this with King Riga and the pastime today and that we're hearing about. So I'll just read again the two translations, the text without the purport. Even though the sages had been bitten by the serpent of anger, their souls were not satisfied with hearing the Lord's lovely and illuminating speech, which was like a series of Vedic hymns. Now, let's be clear about it. Not satisfied doesn't mean that they weren't happy with it. It means that they wanted more and more. That's why I compared it to Arjuna's Bhuya Kataya Triptiya here. Shinvato Nasti Mayimrita. I'm never tired of hearing the nectar of your words. And here it's compared like a series of Vedic hymns. And the next translation, with a short purport, the Lord's excellent speech was difficult to comprehend because of its momentous import and its most profound significance. The sages heard it with wide open ears and pondered it as well, but although hearing, they could not understand what he intended to do. So we'll find out in the verses that follow. Excellent speech. So that excellent speech is there in one of the Vibhuti Yogas. It's among, is it still translated among women? I am fine speech, intelligence, all that. And then that in the newer edition, it's clarified that it doesn't necessarily have to be women. Men can also possess these qualities of fine speech and patience and yeah. What were some of the other the fine speech, patience, intelligence? Yeah. Well, the it's tweaked a little bit. That we can look at. You have a Bhagavad Gita handy on your. I don't wanna. Yeah, I have Bhagavad Gita, but I thought it would be faster if someone else did. All right, let's take a look at it.
Which word exactly are you worried about? Well, Narinam, according to the Pocket Vedas here, it says of women. So I don't know if that's the first or second edition. It's the Pocket Vedas.
Okay, the in the purport, it says, that's among it. Women, I am fame, yeah. Fortune, oh, yeah, fine speech, that. Memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience. I don't know, is this the latest edition of Bhagavad Gita?
That's the second edition.
Let's not get bent out of shape here. The seven opulences listed, fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience, are considered feminine. If a person possesses all of them or some of them, he becomes glorious. If a man is famous as a righteous man, that makes him glorious. In other words, there's another place where Prabhupada says that whether man or woman, but here it's also confirmed, that men can also have these opulence, even though they're referred to as among women, Narinam, Kriti Srivaksha Narinam. So that's there. No prejudice. Does anyone have any comment or question? The one and only, Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol Maharaj. When Bhishma was speaking to Yudhishthira about Dharma, He said, the suppression of anger is the foremost duty of all varnas and ashram.
And what was the first thing you said? The what? The
when Bhishma was speaking to Yudhishthira about dharma, he says, the foremost duty of all varnas and ashram is the suppression of anger.
Suppression of anger?
Yeah, anger. Yeah, to suppress anger. But we find in these stories over and over again, this sage or that sage would flare up in anger and curse somebody. Just like these three sages, they flare up in anger.
They can get away with it.
You know, just like the story with Nigra, those two brahmana flare up in anger, yeah. Curse Nigra. And Durvasa flare up in anger.
Very succinctly, the Prabhupada says it should be anusara, not anukara. In other words, you should follow the essence of the instruction, not imitate, you know, superficially, anukara. There's a story that goes with that, that there was an apprentice veterinarian, Prabhupada tells this story, and his master, the professional veterinarian, horse swallowed an apple or something, or a cantaloupe, and the horse was choking. So the veterinarian took a hammer and started smashing the horse's neck to squash so it wouldn't block his breathing. It's a pretty emergency move there, but it worked. So the apprentice, every time the animal had some malady, he would start, killing them, basically. So the master was not very happy with that. Neither were the animals. Because he what?
Imitated.
Yeah, that's anukara instead of anusara. You have to follow the essence, not mechanically imitate like that. Sometimes
I got a database here too, man.
All right, does anyone have any?
On 10/23/42, that was translated by probably Hiranya Maharaj and Gopi Paranda. They're also translating, I just had it, Narinam as of these women. So that's the word that we were wondering about in the Bhagavad Gita verse. So, yeah, so, women can do some stuff too. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, Stita D. Mooney just scored a couple of points on the other side of the...
Maharaj, I was just curious. So after they said, you're so out of it, you got to go see the Swami, did you go see the Swami or did you just go back on the street?
Yeah, well, ironically, something unusual took place that when I did go up, and I did that a number of times, the door was open, you don't even have to knock, you can just open the door and go in. It was an open house. To see the Swami in 1966. The protocol was really loose. It was, in fact, Prabhupada told, I think, Brahmananda, he said, if anyone comes and then start asking you questions, just tell them to come see me. Send them upstairs. It was just the opposite of the later protocol, and when I went up that particular time, I still remember after so many years that somehow the door was not open and I couldn't get in that particular time.
So did you go to see him?
Many times, but that particular time, for some reason, the door was not, was locked or something. It was just Pundarik.
Thanks. You mentioned the story of Srila Prabhupada speaking some gibberish. I was there in 74 something. He said It's from the
story of Srila Prabhupada.
Speaking some gibberish like that, he was. He quoted, "This is one of the predictions of Kali Yuga in the 12th canto, how people will speak some strange words and nobody will understand." But they'll think, oh, he's a great person. But here we see that the sages, they couldn't understand the Supreme Lord. So what is the difference between the two different... You don't understand some gibberish that the scientists are speaking, and we don't understand the Supreme Lord. Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He should be able to speak very clearly to make his point known. But here we're seeing that the sages, they couldn't understand... So what's the difference between the sages the scientists? They speak some gibberish or something that nobody understands and no value.
Not the sages. You mean the words of Lord Vishnu?
Could you speak something on the difference between these two different not understanding the words?
Well, it's one thing if you're using the word gibberish, which is like nonsense talk. But of course, the Lord doesn't do that. But It's a difference between it actually being what you're calling gibberish or nonsense talk, meaningless, and that the way someone hears it, the way someone experiences it, as if it was nonsense. The example I gave that Prabhupada talked about, I think you just mentioned it, how they speak such, very highfalutin language, and no one understands it, and it's considered very wonderful, something like that. But that's not what's going on here. I at the beginning of my attempt to give this class, I did mention that it does seem a little. I couldn't answer the question exactly. Why is it so? Why do they construe the Lord's speech as so esoteric, mysterious? It seemed rather straightforward. Lord Vishnu was just being very direct, saying how much he is beholden to the Brahmanas, and so how much he respects the Brahmanas, and like that. So I mentioned the story of King Regal. So I don't know. That's... It's an open. Okay. But I did make that distinction. Not satisfied in the terms of they weren't like they weren't. It's not like they got too much. They wanted more. In that sense, is someone on this side had a question? No.
I was going to say sometimes we hear, from the Lord, rather through Shastra or through Guru, and maybe we don't actually comprehend. However, when we chant more or chant more sincerely or we render more service, then sometimes we go, oh, that's, then it becomes, it's almost like Krishna reciprocates and gives you the understanding, So I think it's one of these exchanges, It's a loving exchange of the Lord that when you, render service or, you have this soberness or sincerity, then Krishna reciprocates by giving understanding.
Adaksi Krishna Namadi Nabhavid Grayam Indriya Sevan Mukhehi Jivados Mayame Vasporatyadadad. That's how one can understand the Lord by rendering service. He reveals himself.
That gibberish thing, that's like a punditry thing. It's not like unique to any one class. Sometimes pundits, if they don't know what they're talking about, they'll purposely make it complicated because even they don't understand it sometimes. Yeah. And then they make it complicated and, because if you're actually a good teacher, you take whatever the concept is and bring it down so your audience could actually understand it. That's the point of teaching. It's not just to impress them with a bunch of words that sometimes don't string together.
Yeah, well, as a teacher, you're quite qualified to make that sort of comment.
Doubt rises, or if somebody really, I mean, here, Lord always has the intention to benefit the others. I'm not accusing or blaming, but isn't like the speaker's responsibility to come down to a level where the audience will be receptive and understanding?
So you're saying that Lord Vishnu didn't do that. He was speaking in very esoteric terms. It was hard to understand.
Yeah, otherwise, what's the purpose?
Yeah, well, I don't remember exactly what follows here, but as we read forward the text, maybe that will be a little more clarified.
I mean, sometimes you have to challenge your students. I mean, you know, you got to give them something to take home and think about, you know.
Keep in mind that although it was hard to understand, but it was still very profound, had great import, filled with meaning. So people the caliber, personalities of the caliber of the four Kumaras, which are hard to find, they pick up on that. Yes?
Maharaj, you were mentioning about how we should hear, even if we don't understand. Like you gave the example of Prabhupada being there. My question is, if we don't, part of hearing is that we follow, yeah? We hear and we hear the instructions and then we try to follow the instructions. I was just wondering, how does it really work if we don't, there's certainly, it's Krishna's helps you to reveal things, but I'm just, if you could elaborate a little bit on how things work if we don't understand something. Like even Srila Prabhupada says, you know, these bhajans are so powerful that even if you don't understand the meaning of it, they still work.
Right.
He mentioned about
Narottam. Well, maybe it would be helpful to recall Prabhupada's, I think he was quoting Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, that very famous speech he made about the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that goes beyond the, there's no need to understand the language of the mantra, there's no, it goes beyond even the mind, the intelligence, just by hearing. You can understand or not understand, but this is Prabhupada would often refer to sound vibration. So the sound vibration has its effect.
So what you're saying is that even, let's say, you know, we have the example of the illiterate brahmana who could not.
Yeah, that's apropos as an example because yeah. So
what does really happen if we don't understand the wording? So what you're saying is that Krishna reveals from the heart what we're meant to do, because when we hear, like you're speaking, we're hearing and we're thinking, okay, I'm going to try to do this, you know. So, but if we don't understand, what you're saying is that, okay, Krishna will just reveal from the heart whatever we're meant to do or however, or give realizations. Is that how it is?
Well, the important thing is that the sound vibration is received from the proper source. It's through Sri Guru Parampara, or hearing directly recordings of Srila Prabhupada. And then we may understand it, or maybe, of course, Prabhupada was so eloquent and made everything so clear that it's almost like we don't have much of an excuse not to understand, especially if one is quite up to speed on English. But the sound vibration itself is purifying, is the point. That's why I mentioned that short lecture about the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It goes beyond the mind, goes beyond intelligence. I hope that's okay. Yes, Monty.
I was thinking that another perspective is also that, you know, Krishna knows that we are, you know, eternally conditioned souls. And so I think that, you know, even if we were fortunate enough to be where we are in this lifetime right now, and I think it carries over. I mean, we're told that we pick up where we leave off, you know, in the next life with the realizations that we were able to obtain in this life. So I think even if we ponder these things, but we still don't really realize them yet, that they'll surface again in the next birth, you know, in the next life, and we get another opportunity, hopefully, you know, to sit here again and say, ah, and then maybe the light bulb will go off, you know.
Yeah, have to have faith in the process, mm-hmm. purifying process, shravanam. I guess at this stage in the schedule, only the person, the devotee, who has something really, really anxious to share something, or something really important, because we are over time. So thank you all so much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundara ki jai. Thank you.